Well, we saw for the nomination process that early on the Democratic Party candidates, they took a lot of time to address issues being brought up by Black Lives Matter and related movements. And we saw more silence on the Republican side. I think moving into this general election campaign, it's unavoidable for campaigns on either side to fully avoid these issues. These are issues that have been brewing for generations. And with today's technology and the fact that these incidents happen, particularly this week, back to back, it'll be hard for those candidates going into conventions to totally ignore it. Now, they may be able to ignore it whenever there's some stagecraft, but they won't be able to ignore these issues and the movements that are advocating for the people who are the victims of these circumstances as they're asked questions on the campaign trail, as we move into debate season, all of those things. So these certainly are issues that will be part of this general election campaign, or at least should be part of it. A dynamic that really makes the Baton Rouge killing, as well as what happened in Minnesota, issues that really could kind of go across party lines, is the fact that we're talking about people who actually had weapons. When we talk about the Minnesota shooting, the video shows the man's girlfriend saying that he notified the police officer that he had a license to carry and all of those things, and he was reaching for his ID. And when we talk about the shooting in Baton Rouge, the video shows that afterwards, there was near the end, they say, oh, well, he had a weapon. So you start to talk about Louisiana as a concealed carry state with lots of rights for gun owners. So now we're going to have to wait to see if the NRA and other gun rights organizations have anything to say about these things, because when we talk about gun rights and we add in racial dynamics, it really makes for a rich tapestry when it comes to the ways in which people respond or don't respond to various incidents in the United States of America. So this could be a very telling moment for sides, both on the liberal and conservative side, as to how they respond.
Had a lot of stories over the years about profiling of Black drivers, traffic stops, searches of cars for drugs and the like. Are we going to see that now with licensed gun holders?
I think that we do see that there's a little bit of a difference in the way in which the public perceives gun owners or gun holders when they're Black versus when they're white, as well as the ways in which there could be differences in law enforcement when it comes to citizens who choose to have weapons based on their race, and particularly race and class intersecting. So I think that all of those things are fertile ground for debate. And the people who are upset, people who see these as very important issues, need to continue putting pressure on the political candidates at the presidential level on down to the local level if they want these issues discussed. I think that in this election cycle, more than some other election cycles, we saw activists not only for Black Lives Matter, but for a number of different causes, really taking their causes to presidential campaigns and candidates and really changing the dynamic of what it meant to be an activist in the United States, that it wasn't solely localized, that they really used this opportunity of an election cycle to really nationalize the focus on their issues. And I think that these instances that have upset people so much, that have people feeling weary and worn out, might end up being the impetus for people to refocus and say, let's not forget to have these things discussed, to see where presidential candidates stand on these various issues, as well as candidates for other offices.
Okay, well, we're coming off the lack of charges in the email investigation with Hillary Clinton, although some stern words, but yes. No charges yes. Coming down. Political director of NPR, Domenico Montanaro, wrote an article this week characterizing Hillary Clinton as the least liked major party nominee in history, except for one, and that one is Donald Trump. What does that say about where we stand right now?
Well, I mean, in recent weeks, I mean, there's been lots of discussion about the negatives that both of these candidates have, and that really changes the dynamic of the campaign, where usually you'll have one candidate who really outpaces the other when it comes to positive ratings, approval ratings, or you'll have both with a certain level of positivity. But I think that that's a very good statement, a very clear observation, that both of these candidates have very high negatives, and they will end up going on the attack of one another because there's not a lot of time to try to convince people on the far left to go with Trump or people on the far right to go with Hillary. They're going to have to put in a lot of work to convince people on their own sides to stick with them and then try to pick off voters in the middle. So traditionally in a general election campaign, we see people on either side kind of feel confident about the voters on their particular side. They're looking towards the middle and maybe even picking off a few from the other side. Whereas right now with these high negative approval ratings, so much work has to be done for Hillary Clinton to make sure she convinces enough Bernie Sanders supporters and other progressives. And so much work has to be done for Donald Trump to be able to try to pull together the Republican Party. I mean, right now, he's having a tough time getting key Republican leaders and other conservatives to even be part of the convention, which is something that's almost unheard of. So we see that there's so much work to be done on either side that we may see lots of fireworks between the two, or we may end up seeing them, you know, kind of waiting to do those fireworks while they get their own houses in order.
Can a good vice presidential running mate help?
I think for either one of them, that a good presidential running mate, someone who is likable, someone who changes the narrative, someone who brings in a certain aspect of their base that they need, really for either candidate could really be helpful. I think that Hillary Clinton is in a little bit better spot than Donald Trump when it comes to having a more variety of people to pick, because you don't see many Democrats saying, oh, I really have no interest in being Hillary Clinton's vice presidential candidate, whereas so many day after day, we see so many Republicans just say, hey, in case you were thinking about me, I'm not interested, because right now, Donald Trump candidacy is seen by some Republicans as a hot potato of sorts, because they're not sure how their voters for the future of their individual political careers may react.
I guess Joni Ernst just made that decision.
Yes, she did. Joni Ernst did it, and so did Senator Corker.
Down ballot, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee is starting a series of millions of dollars worth of ads targeting GOP congressmen, connecting them to Trump, kind of saying, like, you're hanging out with a class bully. That's what one of the ads is actually portraying there. What do you think? Is it just going to get more as we move through the conventions, past the conventions? Is it just going to get more down and dirty and personal like this?
I believe so.
I think that the Democrats up and down the ticket in the Senate as well as in the House, and maybe even in some local elections, see this election cycle as an opportunity to make gains. Because of the image of Donald Trump, because of the way that Donald Trump comes across to so many Democratic voters, as well as voters who are kind of in the middle and really are undecided, and even a few Republican voters, they're banking on the idea that they can use those negatives to their advantage, that they can try to tie Donald Trump is almost an anchor to weigh down some Republican candidates. Now, that's a gamble that they're taking. You never know, because Donald Trump has gotten a good amount of support, so it could backfire in some instances. But I think that they're looking at it from a broader perspective and thinking that they'll get more wins than losses out of tying Donald Trump to candidates up and down the ticket and hopefully make some gains in the House of Representatives. And they're also looking to maybe take a majority in the Senate. I don't know of too many Democrats who think that they can get a majority in the House, but I do think that they think they can make some strides in terms of lessening that lead in the majority that Republicans have.
We see articles coming out from time to time that say Donald Trump never really intended to get this far. He just wanted to get his name out there. He wanted some publicity. Didn't really think he would be the presumptive nominee. We'll see what happens. When we go through the convention, some have also suggested maybe this is tied in with the Clinton somehow, and he's actually in it to get rid of clear out the Republican field and pave the way for Hillary Clinton. A lot of different theories have been going around about why Donald Trump wasn't really serious about this, but he's come this far. What do you think about those theories? Is there anything to any of those, is Trump surprised by his success?
I mean, anyone who pays close attention to American politics. Especially in this age of the internet, they're going to have plenty of access to lots of different conspiracy theories. So there's conspiracy theories that abound for elected officials, people seeking elected office, all kinds of things. Now, I don't put much credence in the idea that Donald Trump is a plant for the Clinton machine on the Republican side. I really don't think that that's the case. But I do put some credence into this idea that Donald Trump didn't originally think that he would get this far. I think the same could be said for Bernie Sanders, that neither one of them really thought that their more populist type of messaging and the voters who they were aiming at would get them this far. Now, the difference is Bernie Sanders didn't end up getting the nomination. Donald Trump ended up clearing out the field and getting the nomination. And we see him now trying to backfill his campaign, whereas most people would already have the mechanisms in place, the people in place. But since he had such a scorched earth policy moving through the Republican field, he wasn't able to easily add some of the operatives and some of the professionals that most people would add, particularly on a Republican nomination where their party is good at coalescing together. This one time, they're not coming together too well, but usually they come together and they put all hands on deck for whoever the nominee or the presumptive nominee is. But Donald Trump really now is trying to do some of the work that most candidates would have done months ago. And now he's seeing that, wait a minute, I really do have a serious chance. But he went so far without really having a lot of professionals around him and not really listening. At least the perception is that he didn't really listen to campaign or political professionals. And now we come to the general election campaign cycle where you have to listen a little more.
Right. And this is where the rubber meets the road. Hillary Clinton has been criticized for it, but she has a machine in place. Yes. She's got a big organization called the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. and she has a lot of political connections. There's a lot of money that Trump doesn't have. Exactly. Can his populist message survive? Will he have time to put something in place? He's in Washington trying to make some relationships better with the mainstream Republicans. Is he going to be able to put it together against what she has? And have we seen the full force of what she has access to?
Well, we're just starting to see one of her biggest weapons come to the front, and that's President Obama and President Obama's ability to build a coalition. And that coalition goes beyond voters. It also goes to fundraising. So if you have President Obama on board, and now we're getting hints that Bernie Sanders is going to put his official endorsement in pretty soon. I mean, I think it's a little late for Sanders. He's kind of hurt some of his leverage, but it still will be a plus for Hillary Clinton. So those things plus her fundraising are really outpacing Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is working right now to try to get the support of elected Republican leaders as well as more traditional leaders who used to have office. But beyond that support, he's having to get the support of people who might make up his staff. There are lots of reports coming out that people who work on Senate staffs, people who worked on other campaigns, they just haven't been inclined to move over to the Trump camp. And we haven't seen his numbers in terms of his feet on the ground really growing at the rate that we would expect for a general election cycle. Now, that doesn't mean that things can't happen quickly. That doesn't mean that the Republican convention can't be that moment where everything comes together, because it very well could be. But right now, things aren't looking as good for him with the machinery that's needed for a successful general election run. But the people and their vote can always be different than what we see with the machine. So predictions could go out the window, but right now it's not looking good for him.